Okay, well, we're looking at this passage. If you've been watching the news at all lately, you will notice that one or two politicians have had a bit of trouble with their sums. And here, my title is Poor Percentage. Poor percentage, do I mean that only 1 out of 10 is grateful? Is that the point of the passage? We've all met ungrateful people. We've all been, I suppose, ungrateful people. Is that what it's about? Well, let's look at the tale in a bit more detail. Jesus is making his way south. He's on his way to Jerusalem for the very last time. He'll die there for people like us, sinners. And en route, he skirts the edge of a village, I guess, and there are 10 people there who can't go in the village. They are permanently banned. They are lepers. They're social outcasts. They can't come near anybody else other than other lepers. And they start to call out to Jesus. Now, normally, they would call out unclean. If they come near any village, they're on the bound to shout unclean so that no healthy people will come anywhere near them and perhaps get the dreadful disease. But on this occasion, they somehow have heard of Jesus. Don't know how. Jesus has been ministering for the best part of 3 years, so I suppose lots of people would have heard of him. And they begin to shout for Jesus to have pity on them. They shout, I guess, for two reasons. One, they have to be at a distance from everybody. And maybe they're shouting because this is desperation. A friend of mine used to say, last chance saloon. You know, this is your last throw of the dice, as it were. So they call for mercy to Jesus. Heal us of the leprosy. Now, the religious system of the day insisted that only a priest could check you, give you the once over and decide that you were clean or sadly still unclean. Only a priest could do that. So Jesus says, go now then and show yourself to the priest. But as they go, they begin to notice something. Must have been, imagine if you were there. Suddenly they notice fingers start to have feeling again and toes. And maybe bits of the fingers that have fallen off start to grow back as they walk in. They start to have feeling in their hands and their feet. They see perfectly healthy skin replacing the horrific disfigurement. The leprosy is gone. Talk about understatement. What does Luke say? Dr. Luke. He just says, as they went, they were cleansed. That's all he says. Talk about understated. No sensationalism in the scriptures. But is the point that only 1 of the 10 was grateful? Now, I've read quite a bit this week, and there was one thing I read about trying to use this as a basis for an example. The film Superman in the 70s. Remember Superman, Christopher Reeve in the 70s? And Marlon Brando had this cameo role. Hands up if you know what I'm talking about. Right, okay. They paid Brando. They had to lure him. He wasn't interested. He was going through one of his reclusive phases. They paid him $18 million. He was only required to be on set for 12 days. $1.5 million a day. And the person who was writing this was saying, well, was he grateful for the $1.5 million? Well, is that the point of the passage? Here we are. We're all in the richest 18% in the world. Are we grateful? I don't know. But is that what the passage is about? I don't think it is. I'm sure the 10 were grateful. I bet they were grateful. I bet they punched the air. I bet they skipped. I bet they hugged each other as they all checked each other out and realized they'd been healed. Are they being ostracized from society, from their own families? They can go home. Brothers, sisters, wives, girlfriends, parents, grandparents, they can go home. Grateful? Of course they were grateful. And I bet they got their lives. That's the phrase people use. I got my life back. Well, they got their lives back. I bet there was euphoria on the way, celebration. Now, it's the end of the football season, a new year. Or reading the papers, you know, celebration because this team have avoided relegation or they got promotion or they've won the league or whatever it is. And we see politicians, we will see pretty soon politicians celebrating when they win the election or whatever, or get their seat as MP. Do you think these 10 were less grateful. Of course they weren't. So it's not just that one was grateful and 9 weren't. But one of them is not just grateful. He turns around. He goes all the way back to find Jesus. He's an outsider. Jesus hammers it home, doesn't he? Telling us through Luke that he's a Samaritan. And when this man comes to Jesus, he praises God. He falls at the feet of Jesus and he thanks him. But he praises God and he thanks Jesus. And it's at that point that Jesus says, all is well with you now. All is well. You are whole, which I assume must be you are saved. Not just physically well. He was already physically well. All are grateful, but one takes the time and the trouble to personally praise God, to personally thank Jesus. Now, surely that's the point of the passage. That's the difference between the 1 and the 9. Now, I just think of a program I saw, 999, with Michael Burke many years ago. Some of you know the story. The guy is in the car overturns, he's got his little grandson in the back. They've overturned in a river. The grandson is trapped in his seat. His head is under the water. The grandfather is desperately trying to undo the seatbelt, and he can't, and in panic, he says, oh, God, help me get this kid out of here. And it opened like that, and I watched the rest of the program. Not a word of praise to God. Not a word of thanks. Grateful, the boy's out, but no praise to God. Or the teenager, some of you know, when I prayed over in the Morriston Hospital, when she was in a coma, immediately, within 30 seconds, she's back, her eyes are open, she's thrown the tubes off, she's swearing at everybody in the room, everybody's hugging everybody, but no praise to God. Or a couple on the hill here, when she was very, very ill, and they'd said that she wouldn't be coming home, and we prayed, I prayed with him, we prayed in the back room, within a week, she's home, not a word of praise to God. I heard a celebrity on the radio, a religious man, he said, I believe in God, and God's given me talents, and I'm grateful to God for the talents, but I've worked hard, mine. Just said, yeah, and whenever there's a but, we need to listen carefully, don't we? Oh, yeah, I'm grateful to God, but. Remember a guy telling me years ago that his sister was suddenly collapsed or whatever, and she was a young teenager. And he said, we followed the ambulance, and I was praying all the way, God, you know, do something, keep her safe, you know, bring her back, whatever, and I'll be in church tomorrow. And he said, you know, when we got to the hospital, she was fine, and I never thanked God at all. Now, there was a time when I was just like that, and maybe a number of you. You know, we had the story last week and today of the Israelites and all the Lord had done. And what do the people do? Mainly grumble, whinge, moan, and go round and round and round the mulberry bush for 39 years in the desert. As an atheist, years ago, I tried my best, particularly when I was a student, I tried my best to make myself unemployable. Not deliberately. I didn't want to be unemployable. I wanted to be a teacher. But I was so sloppy as a student and so absent most of the time and so obnoxious to people who tried to help me that I really tried my best, in a sense, to not be employable. In fact, one of the lecturers wrote me a reference which, if anybody had ever read it apart from me, would have rendered me unemployable because he told the truth about me. And I never showed it to anybody. And yet, in the mercy of God, I got the job I wanted. I never thanked God, not at all. Then when I was first married, my wife needed an operation. And I remember driving from work at half the speed of sound, it seemed, all the way down to the hospital in Bridgend. I didn't pray at all. I was an atheist. I was consistent. I wasn't praying. Wasn't asking for anybody's help. Just sheer panic, consistently godless. And when I realized that she was fine, never thanked God. Not a word of praise. Atheists rob God every day, all day, every day. But you're not atheists. You're sitting here, you're nice, moral, churchy people. You believe in God. You say you believe Jesus died on the cross. But are you still robbing him of glory? Just like the atheists do? See, my title here is Poor Percentage. 1 in 10, isn't it? 10%. Not 10% of the people in Galilee. Not 10% of the people in Israel. 10% of the people who called out. That's what we're talking about. 10% of the people who called out to Jesus for help. Now, are you like the 9 who've called out to help, but there's no evidence of you praising God and living for him? Is he in your life? Is Jesus so much in your life that he is your life? Or is he just somebody you've called out and good old Jesus came up with the goods? Like the 9. See, we got the 3 groups here, haven't we? We got 3 groups here. We got the 1, we got the 9, we got everybody else who wasn't even called out. Are you still in that group even? That you've never even called to be saved. Never even called for your sins to be forgiven. You never even called out to go to heaven. See, there was a head teacher in Morriston years ago. I used to do assemblies regularly there in the comprehensive school. I'm talking about 20 odd years ago. He loved my assemblies on creation. He was a chemistry teacher. See, he was a headmaster now. He was a chemistry graduate. And he used to always say, no matter where I started, if I got to creation somewhere, he'd always come on and tell the kids, look now, he said, have you seen how complex atoms are? Somebody must have made them. Now, he believed that, but he never praised God. Never thanked God. Never worshipped God. Here you are, regular. You're all regulars here. I know the names of every person here. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Is that you? That man from Swansea years ago, Derek Morris, he was the longest surviving heart transplant patient. Whenever he was interviewed, oh, I'm so grateful to Harefield Hospital. I owe them my life. He was a man who's grateful. They've done something amazing for him. Are you grateful to God? Are you more than grateful? Do you praise him? Psalm 103, God who forgives all your sins. Is that you? Has he forgiven all your sins? That girl in one of those 999 things, when she fell in Cheddar Gorge and this paramedic climbed all the way down this steep thing, and there she was, broken collarbone and ribs and whatever, and she said in the interview then later, I was overwhelmed that he do all that for me. Well, what about Jesus? Are you overwhelmed? Some of you never seem overwhelmed. Why is that then? Are you just like the 9 then? See, when I first looked at this passage, I was thinking, yeah, Luke 17, I can't see a link between these verses and the previous verses. That's what I first thought. But there is a link. There's a credible link. If you realize, because the previous verses are all about, at our best, we only do our duty. We're unprofitable servants. If you think that you deserve something, you're not going to be like the one coming back for you. If you think you deserved it, you've done something, you're nicer than Gladys, you're much nicer than Glenn. If you think you deserve something, but if you realize mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Psalm 104, I read this week. I will sing to the Lord all my life. Why? 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 All the time. You're going to sing all the time? Why? Isn't that boring, singing all the time? I read in Revelation chapter 1, John, excited, overwhelmed, to him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. I was just thinking, if he only had the first 4 words, to him who loved us, that would be enough. That should be enough. If you believe that he loved you, even if he didn't free you from your sins, the thought that he loved you, that should be enough to send you into orbit. To him who loved us. He loved us. That would be enough for you to not just thank him, but praise his holy name. Psalm 116, one of my favorite verses. First verse I ever learned as a Christian. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. And because he turned his ear towards me, I will call on him all the days of my life. So I just ask you now, are you like the one? Be honest now, he knows. You like the one? You like the nine? Or you're not even in the group? Amen. Wow, this is a great song. I love this. It's so wonderfully simple. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.